Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Welcome to church. Good to have you here. Today we will finish our series called Living in a Glass House. And we've been talking about how oftentimes we act one way when we know people are watching. But then when you go downstairs and nobody can see, maybe we act a different way, right? We kind of put on an image when folks are looking at us, but then we're a little bit different. Do you talk different when you're at church than when you're at work? Nobody wants to say, they're like. Do you talk different around your wife than you do around your buddies or your girlfriends as opposed to your husband? So the question is, who is the real us, right? Are we being real when we're at church or when we're at work? Are we true to who we are with our family or with our friends? If we're different in different places, you know, it's hard to figure out who am I? What do I really believe? What do I really stand for? And that's a challenge for many people. It's clear identity. It's knowing who I am, being consistent and living that in every circumstance. Have you been to the airport recently and you have these signs, you'll see signs around the airport. It says, do you have your real ID? Have you seen those signs? I think they do marketing about it in different places, but I saw it at the airport. And I thought, real ID as opposed to what? A fake ID? Yeah, I have my real ID, but I guess what it is in Washington, you can just go in and say, like I could say, my name is Bob Jones, and I live at such and such attitude, and they don't check. They'll just give me an ID card. So that ID cannot be used at the airport. To use your ID at the airport to get on an airplane to travel to other states or other countries, you have to have like a certified ID. They call it a real ID that is your passport or your birth certificate and an address that you actually confirm through billing or some way that you live there. So it got me thinking, how many people live off of a fake ID? They just follow what parents said or what a teacher said or what the world, what media says, but they don't really know who they are. So do you have your real ID? That's what I want to talk to you about today. And where do you get your real ID? Well, we know that the Father is our creator, and the creator always defines the creation. And this is why in the natural world, in the carnal world, we want to identify however I'm feeling today. Today, I feel like a man, but tomorrow I might feel like a girl. Today, I feel like somebody else. I identify however, it's my choice. And however I identify, you have to accept it. And if you don't accept it, it's because you are bad. You are evil. So we have kids in the classroom, they identify as furries. So we have to provide, the public school has to provide kitty litter for the furries. Yeah, well, I'm gonna provide a knock upside your head. Because your identity is a fake. That's not who you are, even though you say that's who you are. That's not who you are. Who defines who you are? Your creator. And this is why the world doesn't want to submit to God or commit to God, because they want to be in control. And they will not allow the Lord any space in their life. But you and me are Christians, so we don't make up our own identity. We find who we are in Him. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. And in that same passage, the apostle writes, we no longer identify according to the flesh, right? So I'm not just a gender. I am not just a nationality. I am not just a race or a color. I am who God says I am. I identify in Him. I've been crucified in Christ. So the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So my identity begins to shift. There was a day in my life when I identified as a loser. I felt like I was a loser. I always said things like, you know, I can't ever get a break. I can never get ahead. I'll never have, you know, nice things. I'll never get out of debt. I struggle with addiction, right? I just viewed myself and I talked about myself from a negative perspective. My health problems, my emotional problems. I had a lot of problems. And I was still a teenager, but consumed with a negative identity. And then one day, I went to our Mill Creek campus, and I got born again. And then as the months and years followed, I began to see, oh, wait, that's not who I am. What I thought about me, what the doctor said about me, what the court said about me, what the counselor said about me. That's not who I am. I am who God says I am. I began to have a new identity, right? So when that identity shift happens in my life, then everything began to change. And sometimes people come to church for a long time, but they don't lean in enough to get their real ID. They come to church sometimes, maybe all the time, but they never get their real ID. And so they never see the benefits or the promises or the blessing that God wants to bring to our lives. So that's the point today. What's the identity? How do you identify? In James chapter 1 and verse 21, James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now, it's interesting that James, the half-brother, natural half-brother of Jesus, is writing to people who believe, but he says, you got to lay aside the filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. It's like, oh, wow, okay. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, that's an interesting thought, because most of you would say, and most of us would say, well, I'm already saved. But here it says, save your souls. When you get born again, your spirit is saved. Your spiritual person, spiritual being, you are born again. You are saved. You are the righteousness of God. But your soul doesn't change. Your mind, your emotions, your will, you have the same thoughts, same emotions, same memories, same things after you became a Christian. And now you're kind of trying to get better in some of those areas, mind, emotions, and will, right? You're renewing your mind. You're strengthening your will. You're making new choices. And that's what the Bible calls the saving of your soul. Well, how is my soul saved? When you receive the word, but not just heard the word, but it's implanted. The old King James Bible said, if it's engrafted, the engrafted word will save your soul. So many people come to church and they like it. They say, amen, that's good. That's a great service. Man, love service today. But the word is not engrafted or implanted in their heart. It's kind of like, I believe it, but you know, I'm not like that into it. Yeah, I like it. It's good. I'm in. But I'm not like all in. Right? So this is where the little glitch is in your software. You tell yourself, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible, I go to church, but you're not seeing that provision, that protection, that blessing from God because there's that little glitch that you hold back and it's not really engrafted or implanted. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I know the Bible. You ever met somebody who says, oh, I know the Bible. I grew up in church. And then you chat with them and they went to a denominational church and they know that Moses had an ark and Abraham crossed the Red Sea and David did something. So they say, I know the Bible, okay? But that's not what it takes to have your soul saved and to really begin to experience the life that Jesus came to give you. Jesus did not come to get you to heaven. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? So do you identify with that abundant life or do you still identify with what the world is saying about you? Right? That's the crux. That's the issue. All right, let's keep reading here in James. The implanted word is able to save your soul, but be doers of this word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Here's the problem. We deceive ourselves because we say, oh yeah, I'm in, I believe. But we deceive ourselves. And when you're deceived, guess what? You're the last one that knows. You deceive yourself and you don't know you're deceived because if you know you're deceived, then you're not deceived. But we deceive ourselves. We play games with ourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Okay, here's the illustration. You look in the mirror, you see your natural face, and you go away and immediately forget what kind of man you were, or you forget what you look like in the mirror. So I borrowed this lovely purple mirror from Wendy. And I look in the mirror and I see, oh man, my mascara is coming all down my face. And my hair is so messy and I got dirt. I just got home from work and my face is all dirty. But I put the mirror down and then I forget what I look like and I don't do anything about it. I don't make any changes. So this is the illustration. I look in the mirror, but I don't really plug in. I don't really do anything with what I see, all right? Let's keep reading. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. So how do we get to that blessing, to that healing, to that wholeness, to that abundant life? Okay, we look into the word of God, into the perfect law of liberty, into the message of the Bible, and we see ourselves, but we don't forget it. We believe it. We lean into it. We say, oh, that's who I am. So, right, I was a young teenager. I go to church and I look into the Word of God because of the pastor teaching and because I'm reading my Bible and I'm going to Bible study and life group and all these things. And I begin to see myself. You're not an addict. You're a new creation in Christ. You're not poor. God gives you power to get wealth. You're not a victim. You are created in the likeness and image of God. What? I look good. I thought I was crazy. Because the counselor told me, you will always be an addict. You will always be an alcoholic. You will always have these problems. I look in the mirror like, bro, you one messed up dude. But then I began to look into the perfect law of liberty. And I started seeing a new me, a new person. I am new in Christ, and I'm the righteousness of God, and I have abundant life, and peace from God guards my heart. And I didn't forget what I saw in the mirror. But remember, it's the mirror of God's Word, not the mirror of Instagram. It's not the mirror of X. It's the mirror of God's Word. What you think about you is the most powerful belief that you have. Because if you believe you have anxiety and you have mental problems and you believe you have addictions and you have all these issues, you're stuck there. You believe in them and you hang on to them. You believe that's who you are. But if you believe God has created you for success in life, an abundant life, and he heals, and he prospers, and he blesses. Well, you rise up. I'm a testimony. You can rise up out of all those problems. You ever been to the carnival or to the fair or down? I think they used to have them down at Seattle Center. And they have these mirrors that make you look different than you really are. Like you look in one and it makes you look really tall or makes you look really fat. And it changes the perspective because the mirror is warped or it's off. And nowadays we have what they call body dysmorphia. So you know what that is, right? I see myself in a way that's not accurate and it's not healthy. So when I look at myself, all I can see is my nose. Oh my goodness, my nose is so terrible. I hate my nose, I can't stand my nose. And all I see is my nose. So I gotta figure out how can I change my nose? But then when I get my nose changed, I see something else. Oh my gosh, look at all those wrinkles. I gotta get rid of those wrinkles, that's all I can see. It's body dysmorphia. I'm not seeing myself clearly. Right? Maybe you've heard or you know somebody and they're so thin, they're so skinny, but they see themselves as fat. And it's in their mind, it's what they believe. It's a dysmorphia, but in reality, they're too skinny, but they think I'm too fat. This is a mental issue, and if you renew your mind, if you are saved in your soul, you'll stop seeing yourself in a dysmorphic way. Is dysmorphic a word? I just coined that. Don't be seeing yourself in a dysmorphic perspective. Okay, here's what I'm telling you now. According to the Bible, if you look at yourself and you say, I'm so sick and I'm so weak and I have anxieties, you're seeing yourself in the wrong way. Because God said you're made in his likeness and in his image. You have the power of his Spirit and the power of his Son. And God gives you power to get well. If you look in the mirror and you say, I'm so poor and I'm never gonna get out of debt, I'm telling you, you are seeing yourself in the wrong way. You have a wrong idea, a wrong identity, a wrong self-image. Well, Pastor, we gotta be real. Okay, let's get real. You think Twitter is more real than the Bible? You think Instagram? You think school teachers? You think you think media? You think this natural world is more real than the Bible? Because I would say you're not going to get anything more real than the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. Instagram will pass away. Facebook will pass away. Current cultural norms will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. So if I base my identity on current cultural ideas, it's always going to be changing. One minute I need skinny jeans, but now I need wide leg jeans. Why? Because I'm trying to be cool according to what's cultural. But it's always changing. Next week, we're back to skinny jeans. Oh, crap. I should have kept all my skinny. See, and that's what happens. You listen to an ungodly teacher, an abusive parent, a negative husband or wife that abandons you. And all these thoughts are in your mind about who you are. So it causes you to see yourself in an unhealthy way. And it's not true. It's temporary. It's short-lived. It's not who you are. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have. You can do what God says you can do. Right? And Wendy and I, we proved it. We proved it because the way our parents were and the way we started out, everything changed when we began to see ourselves from the Bible's perspective, from God's identity. Now, back in our early days, we would listen to Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen. Many of you, most of you know Joel Osteen. Well, his dad, John, and his mother, Dodie, were great pastors in Houston, Texas. And John used to start every message by making a confession about the Lord and about our identity in him. And it inspired us, and so we kind of followed along for many years here at Christian Faith. But I was listening the other day. I was so inspired by John Osteen, and this message is like 50 years old. I mean, it's as old as Jesus. And I was so inspired, I thought, well, I got to play it for you. So here's a little message, 3 minutes, from John Osteen.
Everybody say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Shout it out, never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Hey, it still inspires me all these years later. Does he look like Joel? Does he look like Joel? Little. He's kind of short. Small in stature, but mighty in spirit. So John starts this confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. What do you say? Well, I can't afford that. I mean, I'm struggling right now. And then till I get my SNAP check, I don't know what I'm going to. Wait, what? What you talking about? You know, I'm just trying to make a living here and trying to just, you know, eke out a living. And, you know, guy got to do what a guy's got to do. And I'm surviving. You see, your identity is from the circus. It's dysmorphic. You got that from your dad that was poor. And your family that struggled. You picked it up from the world, from the natural. And you listen to the media. Oh, the economy. Republicans are killing us all. It's not the Republicans. The Democrats are killing us all. They're all saying the same thing. And the pharmacy wants to sell you a pill because you have a headache. Don't you?
You have a headache.
And you have low blood sugar, right? Don't you? Huh? You better go to your doctor. Pretty sure. Probably have some heart issues. Probably have some back pain. That's okay. I got a pill for you. So the world, right? I'm not saying people are evil. Well, maybe I am. But the world is teaching you how to think about you. You're weak, you're sick, you're poor. You need the government to give you a check. You need a pill. You need a shot. You need a whatever. And they're just coming at you. They're just coming at you. And it's normal. If you say to people at work, yeah, you know, I am what God says I am. I'm healed in the name of the Lord, and my life is good. I'm living an abundant life. They're going to be like, you stone crazy, bro. You need help. You are so different if you say what God says. But if you said, you know, my headache, I got a hangover. I mean, this weekend was crazy. We were partying. I mean, you know how it goes. Trying to get, whew. They'd be like, I feel you, man. I'm with you. It's normal to be sick, to be poor, to be struggling, to have a headache, to have problems. It's normal. If you say, I'm blessed. I'm living an abundant life. You're weird. And that's what we should be. We should be different because we're Christians. Not just, well, we go to church sometimes. We are Christians, Christ-like. We are what God says we are. We have what God says we have. We can do what God says we can do. See, guys, for me to go to church but live the same old way, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have made it. I would have left. I would have been like, I'm not going to just play church on Sunday, but the rest of the week live my normal life. I couldn't have done, I had to go all in, and I began to see it really works. In the early years of Christian faith, because we were inspired by John Osteen, we would open every service with this confession. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God, and I believe it. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. Today, I'll take another step toward God's perfect will. I'm becoming like Jesus. I'm energized by the Holy Spirit. I have the desire, discipline, and determination to be all God has called me to be. See, isn't that better than my anxiety, my mental health, my depression, my migraines, my back pain, my crazy spouse? I mean, we just speak of these circumstances, and some people say, but I have to be real. Okay, but let's be real according to Scripture. And then you can change those negatives. You can change those circumstances that are not God's will for your life. If your marriage is not fulfilling or rewarding, that's not God's plan. So don't just accept it by saying, well, it is what it is. Let's make changes. Let's get better. Let's say God's blessing my family. God's healing my family. God's helping me be a better spouse, right? So what you see and say about yourself, Are you with me? The mirror that you look in, what you see and what you say is controlling your life. If you look into the Bible and see that you're made in the likeness and image of God and say you are blessed and living an abundant life, circumstances begin to change. It's amazing. It's miraculous. It's not immediate. It doesn't happen overnight. But over time, everything changes. If you will renew your identity, people will think you're a different person. And they'll be like, what happened to you? I used to know you. I knew you in school. We never voted for you to be successful. What happened? That new identity, it just causes everything to be different. You know, I went within 2 years, I went from being in jail on probation and sentenced to a rehab center to being president of the Bible school. Literally. And I'm not saying that I'm all that cool. I'm just saying this stuff works. This stuff works. A new identity. I went from jail, court, probation, rehab to president of the Bible school. And I'll tell you, I had a little glitch there. When they voted me in as president, I'm like, bro, y'all know I'm in a rehab center, right? But it didn't take much to pass up the average Christian person, because many Christians say, oh yeah, I believe, but they don't really change their identity. Many churches, oh yeah, we love the Lord, and I believe they do, but they're not really leaning in to all that God has for them. So this is a big thing. How you live on the glass floor or in the basement, let's get it synced up that I'm living what God says, what God's word says. I am what he says I am. I do what he says I can do, and I have what he says I can have. Right? So then, man, everything starts changing. Okay, look with me in Judges chapter 6. If you've been with me before, you probably have heard me talk about this story. One of my favorites. And I think it makes it so crystal clear. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian, which was another country, for 7 years. Okay, so this is a pattern for Israel, and it's a pattern for many Christian people too. We are people of God, we believe in God, but we do our own thing. And Israel would go their own way, and they would follow the gods of the heathens and all that they did, and they would let evil into, and then God couldn't help them. It's not that God abandoned them, it's that they abandoned him. So they're doing their thing, and they're doing it their way, and going their own way, so then they struggle. And then the families would get bad, and the culture would get bad, and the finances, the economics would get bad. And so then Israel would pray, Lord, help us, Lord, deliver us. They would cry out to God, and God would say, I'm here. I've been here all along. And he would help them. They would get a new leader like David, or in this case, Gideon. And God would bring them back, and they would be blessed, and they would prosper, and then they would do good for a while, usually one generation. And then they would forget, and they would go back into the world and partying and living the life, and then they would struggle. Today, the average Jewish person is an atheist. So they're Jewish in that their family tree and they believe in the Jewish traditions, but they don't connect with God. They don't identify with God. So that's why it's always a war. It's always a struggle. They're still chosen by God and will be used by God in the last days. But they don't follow God right now. So that's why I say, I will always support Israel. The Bible says, pray for Israel. But it doesn't mean everything Israel does is good. They're a bunch of sinners. And sinners end up in tragedy because of sin. So too bad. But one day, things are going to shift, and you're going to see Jewish people coming back to God. And that will be awesome. So right now, in this story, they're under the control of the Midianites. Taxes, control, taking all their crops. Life is hard and life is bad. Now, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Oprah, where they were filming a new talk show named Oprah. Okay, that's not really in the Bible, but who knew that Oprah was in the Bible? So the angel of the Lord, which is a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus, not just an angel, but actually the Lord, and you'll see what I mean as we keep reading. He just shows up, and he comes. And Gideon, verse 11, Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide from the Midianites. Okay, so Gideon is a young man, and he's a Jewish man, and he's heard the Bible stories, but he does not identify with them. He identifies as poor, as weak. He's afraid of his enemies. He's not thinking, how do I stop my enemies? How do I get my enemies out of my country? He's hiding from his enemies. Okay, this is where a lot of even Christian people are. They're not thinking, I will beat this. They're thinking, how do I hide from this? They're not thinking, I overcome these things. They're just praying that they can avoid these things. So that's a bad self-image. I'm kind of weak, and I'm kind of scared, and I'm just hiding, and I'm trying to survive, trying to make a living, trying to get by. So he's in a wine press, which is where they would stomp on the grapes and make the grape juice for the wine. But he's in there threshing wheat, which doesn't work because the threshing has to happen on an open floor where the wind can blow the chaff. So this is miserable. This is not effective. This is not successful life. This is barely surviving and just barely getting by because he's afraid of his problems. He's afraid of his enemies, right? So this is Gideon. And the angel of the Lord walks up to him and appeared to him and in verse 12 and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." All right, get the picture. Gideon is hiding. He's scared. He's weak. He's poor. He got anxiety issues. He got mental health trouble. But the Lord says, "Yo, bro, I'm with you. You are a mighty man of valor." So this to me shows this dichotomy, this big gap between what we think is reality and what God thinks is reality. We say, "Well, I can't afford that. Well, I'm never gonna get out of debt. Well, I'll never own my own house." You can't afford. There's a generation today who thinks the American dream is gone. And maybe it's true if you only have an American dream. Because I have a godly dream. I have a Bible dream. I have a promise and a word from the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, "Yo, you mighty man of valor." What did Gideon say? "Who, me? You better check your Waze app, because you got the wrong address, bro. You don't know me. I'm poor." Look at what he said. Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, Why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? He'd heard about it, but he didn't believe it for himself. Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. You know what many people do? They not only feel sad about their lives, they blame God for their lives. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. Now he's going to throw his whole family under the bus. My whole clan. My dad, flaky. My mom, stupid. My brothers and sisters, they're all weird. The whole family's weird. And not only that, my whole tribe. And what do people say today? Well, everybody in my culture goes through a divorce. Everybody in my culture has an affair. Everybody in my culture is poor. Nobody in my culture buys homes. We always just rent a home. We all live together. We kind of move around. We start not only throwing ourselves into that negative identity, we put everybody around us into that negative identity. And again, the angel of the Lord said to him, this time in verse 16, it says, the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you'll defeat the Midianites as one man. Now Gideon believed. He was weak, he was poor, he was unable to change his circumstances. God believed, you're a mighty man of valor. You'll save your nation, your family, your people. Let's go. God's not big on chit-chatting. Chit-chit. I didn't say what you think I said. I said chit-chatting. God doesn't just sit around and chat with you. When people say, I talk to the Lord, and then they have three pages, that wasn't the Lord. That was all your thoughts. When God speaks, boom shakalaka. I mean, the Lord is like, hey, you're a mighty man of valor. Yeah, but, and did you know? And what about? And I, and my whole family, and my whole tribe, and hey, go. You gonna buy in or not? You gonna accept it or not? You're going to renew your mind? You're going to have a new identity, or you want to stay sick? Well, I went to that Christian faith. I mean, that pastor over there, he's trying to get people healed and everything. That's crazy. Okay, well, stay the way you want to be. Or be what God has called you to be, right? Say what some teacher said, or what some abusive person said, or say what God said. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know about my anxiety. I know. We all got stuff. We could all excuse why we are the way we are. Or we could say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. And I believe it. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Whew, it's going to be a good day. What's your reality? What's your real ID?
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.